This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show. Blue
skies from pain. We had this last night. Roger Waters at PNC Arena. It was very nice. Inspiring. I am Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is here. Speaking of inspiring, nobody knows more about football than my friend Michael Felder from Stadium at In the Bleachers on Twitter. And he joins us. I'm honored on a Friday, too, especially as we're getting closer to the season. Do you have any free time right now?
No. I'm actually, once we get off, I'm about to edit some video because I got to put it up on the bulletin. And I'm not good at it, so it's going to take me way longer than it would probably take a professional. And I got to sit down and watch some. I've been watching a lot of Coastal, so going to wrap up the week with that before I make some buns, and we have some nice chicken parm sandwich.
Beautiful. And by the way, get the newsletter. It's Felder. Get it. You'll learn football and you'll learn about good stuff to eat. All right, let me ask you this, because speaking of good stuff to eat, $1.2 billion a year will buy a lot of good stuff to eat. The Big Ten has cashed in just a 7-year deal. What does $1.2 billion into the league shoebox do?
I mean, you got to feel comfortable, right? I mean, look, if you're Maryland, you got to feel like you made the right move.
Yeah.
If you're Rutgers, you're like, heck yeah, dog. And if you're someone like Illinois or Indiana, you're like, see, look at that.
Yeah,
it's good. We did it, guys.
We lived in the right neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. We bought in the right neighborhood as we walked through this whole housing market situation. So yeah, they bought the house at the right time in the right neighborhood. That just happened to be in like the 1912s. So
right.
It's very interesting. It's great. It's good money. It's going to happen. And I think the other part of it is who's eyeballing that. And I think we've got a coast-to-coast situation between Oregon and Washington. UCLA's got some problems now. They've got people, the Board of Regents and
yes.
the government that looks like they want to block it. And then on the other side, I'm very curious to see what happens with UNC, with Duke, with UVA, who have already been rumored to go to the Big Ten a decade ago. So
yeah.
It's all going to be pretty interesting.
All right, so Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, Mike Felder is joining us here at In the Bleachers on Twitter. He told Bryant Gumbel in an episode of HBO's Real Sports that the long-term plan, 20 teams and paying players. And C.J. Stroud, the quarterback at Ohio State, already has the players' collective handout. Like, we should share in some of that. I am 100% in agreement. But if Warren is saying that the plan is to eventually pay players and a 20-team league, isn't that the real advantage that a television contract like that has, is that it enables
exactly.
you to actually do that?
Oh, you mean like the NFL?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a huge advantage. That's the whole goal. And if that's the goal, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a noble goal. I am going to say that it's the right goal. And I think it's not just paying football players, it's paying all your players, because – and going through the deal slowly, and I'm trying to make sure I digest all this stuff, but it's Fox, it's CBS, it's NBC,
yep.
And they're going to be – the interesting thing for me with NBC and the NBC part of it all is, oh, they're going to have two games on Saturdays, or they'll have at least one game on Saturdays, because remember, NBC on days that Notre Dame doesn't play at home, they don't have a game.
Right.
So now they get a game at least every week, which is a big deal for them. So they get more eyeballs to their channel. And then you throw in the Peacock Plus, Peacock Plus, Paramount Plus, all these other things. And I was reading an article from The Verge, and The Verge was like, it's going to get really hard to watch sports. And it's probably not going to be that hard to watch your college football team, but it is going to be really hard to watch your, like, the softball team or the swimming and diving championships or whatever it is, because they're going to move all those things around. And that's going to be the part where teams are – because remember, Fox Sports doesn't exist anymore. That's now Bally's, who I technically kind of work for, but they don't exist anymore the way that they used to exist. So it's like they can't just shuttle stuff off to Fox Sports South, Fox Sports Ohio, Fox
right.
Sports Detroit. So it's going to be hard to watch your sports. You're going to have to be pretty savvy. You better listen. Get your remote ready. Get your tech ready. Get your apps ready, and you probably need a smart TV.
Yeah, there's no question. You need on my Roku TV. We have Stadium, so we can get our fill of Michael Felder and our friend Jeff Goodman. Who I know you guys were talking about NIL. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Speaking of NIL, this is one of my favorite stories of the week that there's really nothing to say other than to clown it. The NCAA has asked its member schools to help them spot other schools' NIL infractions. Are they asking? They're just asking for snitches? Is that what they're doing?
That's what they've always done, though, right?
Yeah, but now they're just openly advertising for it.
Right, but that's what they've always done. That's what they've always been. Whether it's Al Means and, what is it, Tennessee tells on Alabama, or it's UNC and NC State sees the Marvin Austin lyrics and then they tell on UNC, or it's Mississippi State telling on Auburn about Cam Newton. It's the whole thing is about snitching and about whether it's dry snitching or it's the whole deal. That's what they do. That's the only way they get any information. It's the only way they can kind of bring a case against anybody. And in the case of Cam Newton, Auburn said, you know what? Hey man, screw you. Prove it. Why don't you prove it? And in the UNC case, they were like, we're going to open up the doors to make sure we protect the basketball team. And then we're going to lose a bunch of guys because we don't say prove it. We tell those guys to tell the truth. And what you shouldn't do is just – you should never deal with them. Every single thing with the NCAA, it ends in they lose in court. And if you don't say anything, they can't get you. And that's the reality of the situation. So, I mean – That's the reality. Like, this isn't a new thing for them. They're doing it a little more publicly now. But also, how does one school know about the other school's NIL collective or NIL deals anyway? They don't.
Yeah, or they all do, and they always have, because they're always paying attention to what the other school is doing. Because if it's working one place, it'll work the other place as well. So Mike Felder is joining us. All right, I want to ask football questions, and then I'm going to ask you a question about Scott Frost. I know Clemson's got a great defense, and I know NC State has a great defense. If you had to compare the two, how would you do it?
All right. I think that Clemson is better up front, hands down. And that's not a knock on NC State. I think that when you have Tanner Ingles and you have hopefully a fully healthy Peyton Wilson and you have Isaiah Moore, when you have all those pieces, I think you've got an opportunity to be really, really special. And I'm very excited about that. So I don't think that they're a stout up front. I think they're sound up front. Listen, I know you're in Raleigh Wood. Like, listen, I know that they are sound up front.
Right.
But Clemson is stout up front. They've got two guys that are going to probably get picked in the top 20 up front in Miles Murphy and Brian Bressy. Not to mention Tyler Davis, who I think a lot of people sleep on all the time because he reminds me a lot of a little of Christian Wilkins. So he's got that in him. That war daddy is in there. So he just got to be healthy to do it. And then you throw in the fact that Xavier Thomas, I'll never forget, good grief, was it 3 years ago? Xavier Thomas, when he got in as a freshman, 4 years ago maybe, when he got in, my buddy was watching that Clemson group. So it was three, it had to be th- two, three. somebody who works in the NFL, he's in the Texans front office. He said, I like Cleveland Farrell the most. I think Christian Wilkins is the best. He goes, but I think the best one out of all of them is that freshman kid, Xavier Thomas. And he took a big hit with COVID. He lost a lot of weight. He lost a lot of explosion, lost a lot of strength. And he's getting it back now. So I think we see a big breakout year for XT. So I think Clemson's defense, a little ahead of NC State. I think NC State, though, more sure in the back seven than Clemson is. Clemson more sure in that front seven. And by the way, shout out to CLT, Trenton Simpson, a guy straight out of I don't know the name of the high school anymore because they changed it from the guy Van. But Trenton Simpson is a beast. This dude can play. And he fits into that Isaiah Simmons role.
Right.
And when you have a guy like that, you've got an opportunity to make plays all over.
Mike Felder from Stadium at In the Bleachers on Twitter. I always ask this question because he's my favorite player on the Wolfpack defense. Your thoughts on Tanner Engel?
I love it. I love him. I think I understand why NC State fans get frustrated by him because it seems like how many games did he get pulled out for target?
Well, 2 years ago it was a bunch, but last year I don't think it was any. So he stayed on the field last year.
And that's the key. He's got to stay on the field. And I remember last season I was like, love Tanner Engel. And then they were like, he's got to be in the game to make plays. But he's changed what he's doing. And they've also changed the way that they've officiated targeting, which I think is a really good first step. Because most of the hits that he had where he got pushed out of game, kicked out of games, got ejected, most of those hits, they weren't dirty. They just happened to be helmet to helmet.
Right.
There's a huge difference between a dirty hit and a helmet to helmet hit. And that's the big thing for me. I'm a huge fan. I think he is. He's one of the better safeties. He's one of those guys that I feel like I can count on him. I think he reminds me a little bit. Oh my goodness. What was his name from Georgia? Sean Williams.
There's a guy that
played at Georgia that played the same way. And then you throw in Jungle Boy Swag from South Carolina.
Okay.
He reminds me of both of those guys. Like he's much better coming down than going backwards. But when he comes down with bad intentions.
Yeah, look, I just love watching him play. I think he's a difference maker, and he's become a leader. He certainly was a year ago. All right, two quick things before we let you go. First, knowing that Georgia's defense can't possibly be as good as it was a year ago, and the teams that will be in their way probably won't be as compromised offensively, does Georgia have to change the way they approach offense this year than just be like old school Alabama and just outlast everybody with their athletes?
They have to. The question is not do they have to. The answer to that is a very easy yes. The question is will they?
Oh.
That's the problem. The problem is like everyone, like this is, I did this week for a show that's going to come out tomorrow. You know how many points Georgia averaged against teams that we should worry about them against? They played eight, nine games against teams that we should worry about them against, right?
Right.
And they averaged 27 points in those games. You're not going to win a national championship average 27 points in those games, again, without a historical defense.
Right.
Not going to happen. So, and just to look at the numbers really quick, because I still have them pulled up because we did the show today. It was 10 against Clemson. It was 37 against Arkansas, 34 against Auburn, 30 against Kentucky, 34 against Florida. Remember, we had a defensive touchdown in two of those games.
Yeah, so the Clemson game.
And in the Florida game as well.
Right.
Toby Dean had a pick six. So we should probably take away 14 more points. The number goes down even lower than 27. But the reality of it is 41 against Tennessee, 24 against Alabama, 34 Michigan, 33 Alabama. That adds up to about 27 points. That's what they average. And again, 14 of those points came from the defense, at least. That doesn't include any other defensive touchdowns, just the two
right.
in the Florida game and the Clemson game. So they should be changing something. Their offense should be better. I don't care about scoring 62 against Vanderbilt.
Right.
That doesn't matter to me.
Yep.
That's nothing. That's a stat inflator but that doesn't mean you're better. They should be changing some things, but I don't think they will, because when you get reinforced by winning a national championship after Alabama has their two best receivers out, and the reality of it is you've got a historic defense. Michigan and Alabama, or Michigan and Georgia, to me, are intrinsically combined going into this year. They have to make a decision. Two teams with historic defenses, and now you have to figure out who you are without those defenses. All those guys are in the NFL now.
That's true.
Jackson Hill, David Ojabo, Aiden Hutchinson, N'Kobe Dean, Devontae Wyatt, Jordan Davis, Lewis Steen. They're all in the NFL. So what are you going to do now? Because you're going to have to score points. And if you don't want to score 35 a game in today's world of college football, you can't win a national championship without a historic defense. And it's going to be really tough, especially, and I'll say this right now, I'll put it on wax, Tennessee's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Their defense ain't nothing to write home about, but offensively, Josh Heupel wants to score 45 every single game. And if you don't want to keep pace with that, it's going to be like when Kevin Sumlin had Johnny Manziel and they ran you around the park all day.
Mike Felder from Stadium at In the Bleachers. Get It's Felder. Get the newsletter. Learn about football and eating and cooking. We ran out of time. We can't even clown Scott Frost together. We'll do it another time.
I'll just say this. I'll just real quick. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you got guys throwing up that much, you've got a problem. You're not overworking them. You have a problem.
Yes.
And the problem is not them. The problem's you. I'm a constant puker. And they used to put the bucket next to me at workout, but it wasn't all of my position group throwing up. It was just me. And that's because I've got a stomach condition. So this is crazy, and I don't like it, and I don't think it's a point of pride. That's all. I'm done.
You got it. You're the best. I appreciate your time, Mike.
Thank you. You guys take it easy.
You got it. All right, I'll explain what the whole Scott Frost thing is on the other side, because it is significant and it is problematic, I believe, in college football, and I have questions about whether or not Scott Frost is an idiot or not.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Do a little mailbag segment. Let's go in the mention, shall we?
You're talking to me? Well, who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
We're going to start really where we left off with Mike Felder. Mm-hmm. About Scott Frost, the head coach at the University of Nebraska, former star at Nebraska, who might be a former head coach at Nebraska, bragging that their new offensive line coach has that position group vomits anywhere from 15 to 20, as a group, 15 to 20 times per practice. Not like each player vomits 15 to 20 times. I'm pretty sure that would put you in a hospital. But that in total, there are, as he said, 15 to 20 vomits per practice. And he said this out loud so people could hear it. And reporters could, chronicle it. And all I could think of was, are you stupid?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's gross. Second, are you stupid? And third, and this is me, the cynic, your fans can relate because they've been watching you play since you got there, and it ain't good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael on Twitter, this guy should never be coaching anyone ever. Everything wrong with macho ball sport culture in one tweet. Yeah, I mean, we could read more of it. Jordan McNair? At Maryland?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to go into it. For those people who don't understand what I mean, simply do a Google search for Jordan McNair. All right, moving on. Mike writes, remember yesterday, just as an aside, mentioned how much I love Asheville, how much I love Wilmington. Mike writes, please stop telling people how cool Wilmington is. We get enough tourists as it is. Dude, that's like part of the whole industry in Wilmington.
Yeah, that's how a lot of businesses make their money in Wilmington. That's how a lot of the economy thrives in Wilmington.
So I will continue to tell people.
Same with Asheville.
Asheville, Wilmington, awesome places to visit. Spend time, spend money in those places. Go check out my guy Randy Slack on the radio in Wilmington. Occasionally on the radio here. Right? All right, so that's Wilmington. And finally, Carl Spackler on Twitter.
Ah, yes.
Wants to know if the Hurricanes are going to pick up another forward to replace Max Pacioretty. First of all, that injury was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. They're not replacing Max Pacioretty. They did, as we found out, we stumbled upon today, sign Derek Stepan, who was with them last year, to a PTO, a professional tryout contract, sort of. It's not really a contract. So he's going to come to training camp, and my guess is make the team, but they'll have to figure out how to fit him on the roster.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.